You are listening to BensTorah.com.
First of all, let's talk about an important shiloh that's nogea this year more than many years, and that is many of you have offices in the city or wherever else you might have an office, and you might not have had a chance to do a bedikas chametz on your office, and it was chayev to do bedika, because we know that any place where you are that has your chametz in it 30 days before Pesach, you are required to do bedika. I'm not going to suggest to anybody to go to the city, to their office, and do a bedikas chametz there. Rather, since you're not going to be there at all on Pesach, and assuming you're not going to be there, if you're going to be there for Pesach, it's a whole different question. You have to call me to figure out what to do. But assuming you're not going to be there for Pesach, or you have a house like in Florida or in the bungalow where you're not going to be for Pesach, then you have the opportunity to, we're not worried of your physical presence near the chametz on Pesach. So then you'll be able to just do bedika, and I'm sorry, do bedika where you're situated. One second, please, just have to get my notes out. You have to do bedika where you're going to be for Pesach, and you'll do a bitul chametz and mechiras chametz for the office. So you don't have to worry if you're not going to be in your office. You don't have to worry about the chametz that you left in your office desk or in your place in Florida that you might have thought you were going to be for Pesach. You'll just sell all that chametz with the sale that you're regularly going to be doing. Similarly, let's say you have two cars, and because of the situation, you're not going to be traveling around too much. So you only need to check one of your cars, and the other car you just won't use. It will be off limits for you if you do want to do that. If I could ask somebody, there's somebody here who's, I just muted you. So any place, if I could ask everybody who's calling in on a cell phone or on a regular house phone, please press the mute button because it will interfere with the audio. Thank you. Let's get back to the kitchen to talk about a number of situations or cases in the kitchen of how to deal with them, how to kosher them for Pesach. So we ended the last shiur, which I think was made available on this morning's email that the office sent out, talking about stovetops and ovens, and of course the best thing that Hashem created for the Jewish family is a self-clean oven, which you could put anything inside of it during a self-clean cycle, and it is koshered. Let's talk about the stovetops. We mentioned last week that if you take the grates from the stovetop, take the grates off, put them into the self-clean cycle, that will kosher the grates. You don't have to worry about cleaning them. You don't have to put them into it. You don't have to invert them, turn it on high. Don't worry about it. Just put it in the self-clean cycle. Now, people have asked, what about those discs, those round discs that have the flame coming out from the sides of them? They're called the burner discs.
That's not the rabbi.
So what do you do with those discs? So the halacha is that those discs do not have to be koshered. Those discs do not have to be covered. You could just leave them as is. If you want to put them in with the self-clean cycle, you're welcome to do that. They'll withstand the heat totally fine. Again, they might lose a little bit of their luster, but those do not have to be koshered because those do not come in any contact with any of the, do not come in contact with the pot. The only thing is, keep in mind that if anything falls down from your pot on Pesach onto that area where the disc is, then of course it has to be discarded. If you do kosher it, then you don't have to worry about discarding anything. And again, underneath those grates on the stovetop, you have what's called the dishpan, the flat surface. That does have to be covered over when you prepare your oven for Pesach. Now, one thing that's important to mention is glass stovetops. Glass stovetops do pose a significant issue because we do not kosher glass. Therefore, they are not kosherable. So if a person has a glass stovetop, what they have to do is they have to make sure that they will not put any pots directly on the glass. How do you do that? Again, I'm going to ask anybody who's on a cell phone to please press the mute button. If you do have a glass stovetop, what you have to do is the following. You have to not use the stovetop for 24 hours. You have to clean it well. And then what you have to do is put a small, some metal washers, those are round metal discs, on top of the heating element and place your pots on top of those metal washers. The metal washers would conduct the heat to your pots, and that's how you will heat your pots, not by putting your pot directly on the metal washers. Not that, but put the pot directly on the stove.
Last time.
Wherever you have the actual glowing part of the stove, that might be okay. But anywhere else, you cannot place the pot down. So again, if anybody has a glass top, you're not sure what to do, please call me directly. This issue with kashering glass is partially for two reasons. First of all, we don't kasher glass. Second of all, there's a very fascinating halacha in Hilchos Heksher Kelim that is that if you're worried that through this kashering process you might break something, then we're worried that you're not going to kasher it well. And therefore we say, if there's anything that you're worried about breaking when you kasher it, you can't kasher it. Sort of a funny equation. But Chazal were very wise, and they said, let's say, for example, you have a glass item. Theoretically, you could take glass and put it in a blowtorch, for example, and kasher it with a blowtorch. But you're worried, what's going to happen if you put glass in a blowtorch? The glass might crack. If that's the case, then Chazal say, we will not even allow you to kasher it because of the concern that you're not going to do a good job on it, since you are concerned that it might break. Before we talk about microwaves, we have to talk about kashering in general, and that is, what materials can you kasher? So the Torah tells us explicitly that we could kasher metal. The Torah tells us explicitly we could kasher stone. The Torah tells us explicitly we cannot kasher ceramic. But what about new materials that did not exist in the time of Chazal, and that's plastic. Plastic, which is manufactured from polymers, from strings of very long strings of molecules. That's how plastic is packed. That's a new material. Can you kasher plastic? So now the poskim are divided on this. And generally, we assume that throughout the year, we are makel to kasher plastic all year long. However, when it comes to Pesach, many poskim or many kashering organizations do not kasher plastic for Pesach. And I think that's what I typically advise people, do not kasher plastic for Pesach. If you happen to be in a unique circumstance, we could talk individually, but under normal circumstances, we do not kasher plastic for Pesach. Now that has a number of applications. Number one, let's say you have a knife that has a great blade, but it's a plastic handle. So although if that knife got fatreifed, milchix, flacious during the year, it was used with something non-kosher, we could kasher during the year, on Pesach, I would advise you not to use that knife, not to kasher that knife. Okay, so you just got a new knife. Where this comes up most commonly is with a microwave. The interior of microwaves are almost entirely plastic. Now, sometimes some microwaves have an interior of metal, in which case, you know, we could be in touch another time. But if you have most microwaves' interior have an interior of plastic, and we do not kasher plastic for Pesach. Accordingly, my suggestion is do not kasher your microwave for Pesach. Now, obviously, the microwave makes life easy, but keep in mind, it's 3 days a year. This year, you only have 3 days of Chol HaMoed, maybe Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So it's 3.5 days a year. And for 3.5 days a year, I think most people will do just fine using their oven. If there's an extenuating circumstance, which could be because of traveling, or it could be because somebody who, because of their illness or mental capacity, is not able to have regular kashered house, or the environment that they're in. If I have, let's say, some of my students that are living at home in a treif house with a chametz tikka house, and they have to be stuck there for Pesach, they can't go elsewhere for Pesach because of Corona, so they have to use the microwave because the rest of the house is taka, chametz tikka and treif. So in such a case, we might be willing to rely on the opinions who permit kashering for plastic. But under normal circumstances, what's typically found in our community here in Shari Tefillah, I advise you against kashering for plastic and therefore not to kasher your microwaves. Again, any extenuating circumstances, please contact me directly and we could discuss it. Many of you attached to your ovens have a warming drawer. Warming drawers do not get so hot, and therefore you cannot do what we call libun. You cannot kasher it the regular way by turning it on high. Certainly it doesn't have a self-clean option, nor does it have the ability to turn it on high and reach what we call libun kal, which is a lighter way of kashering something than a self-clean cycle. So by turning it on high, if you have a warming drawer, that will not help you. The CRC does suggest an interesting procedure where somebody who does want to use their warming drawer for Pesach can kasher it in the following manner. What they have to do is get two or three jars of sterno. You know when you go to an affair and they have the hot warming trays, underneath they have those small metal containers with like 6-7 ounces of the blue flammable gel, and you light the gel on fire and it keeps the, you know, the scrambled eggs hot underneath the chafing dishes. So those sternos, if you take 2 or 3 sternos and you scatter them around the warming drawer, and you light 2 or 3 of them all at the same time inside your drawer, and you leave them there lit for about 2 hours, that will reach the requisite heat that's necessary to kasher a warming drawer. But make sure that the warming drawer is left a little bit ajar, because of course we all know that if you have a fire that doesn't have oxygen to supply, that an oxygen supply, the fire will extinguish. So what you have to do is you have to leave the warming drawer a little bit ajar to allow the oxygen to be inhaled by that combustion of those sternos. Leave the 2 or 3 there for 2 hours, and that will kasher your warming drawer. But of course, as with all kashering, other than full libun, flame torch or self clean. Whenever you don't use self clean or a torch, you always have to have 24 hours of not using it, and it has to be cleaned well. So you'll clean it well for 20. You'll clean it well. You'll wait 24 hours. You'll leave the door a little bit ajar. Then you will kasher it. The next point I'd like to speak about is water coolers. So oftentimes when people are at the office, this question comes up all the time because every office has a water cooler. But many of you have Poland Spring water coolers or water dispensers at your home residence. So what do we do for Pesach regarding your water dispensers? So let's talk about the two parts. There's cold and there's hot. If you have cold, there's nothing to worry about. There's no problem. Just wipe it down and you're good to go. But if your water dispenser also has a hot element, here there's some question that is to be discussed. And that is because typically those water dispensers are all made out of plastic. And we mentioned a few minutes ago that we try not to kasher plastic for Pesach. Now, if you could avoid using the hot water dispenser for Pesach, that's great. If you feel you can't, and it's this is just how you get your water, your hot water on Pesach, or you need to use that, there is a little bit more room to be mako when it comes to a water dispenser than with other plastic items, without going into details now. And what you could do is the following. What you could do is, again, not use the dispenser for hot for 24 hours, like whenever you have to clean or kasher any item, and then clean it well with some, you know, some kind of ammonia or some kind of Comet or something that will do a good cleaning job. And then you have to take off the water bottle on top. I think they call it the carboy or something like that, the container that holds the water. And then tilt the dispenser on the side so you could pour boiling water over the spout. After you pour water, boiling water over the spout, you could take a new bottle that you're going to be using for Pesach and insert that onto your dispenser. That would be the way that you could kasher your water dispenser for use with hot. So again, if you only use it for cold water, none of this is necessary. Just wipe it down, clean it, and you're fine. Only if you use it for hot and you want to use the heat, the hot water on Pesach, then you have to, again, clean it well, wait 24 hours, change the carboy and pour the boiling water, the boiling water, onto the spout. When you flip it on the side, you're able to get all around to pour the boiling water. But again, that's only if you need to use the hot water of your water dispenser on Pesach. That's as far as water cool. Let's go now to the next point. What about a plata? You want to use a hot plate. You do not need to go to Central Avenue and buy a brand new hot plate for Pesach. If you are going to Central Avenue, there's no need to buy a new hot plate. In order to kasher a hot plate, it's not hard at all. All you need to do is clean it well, scrub it down, and then put it on high after, of course, it hasn't been used for 24 hours. Put it on high, the highest setting, for 2 hours, and then line it with 2 layers of heavy-duty aluminum foil. It's not a magic, there's no magical halacha called 2 layers. There is a reason for 2 layers. It doesn't have to be heavy duty, but again, it just works better. Line it with 2 layers of aluminum foil, preferably heavy duty aluminum foil, because that does tear easily on a plata. So that way you can use a plata, the chametz tikka plata, on Pesach if it's kashered for 2 hours on high and 2 layers covering the surface.
You are listening.
Okay, let's say
Ben's
in your kitchen, the next point, let's say in your kitchen you have a paper towel dispenser. That doesn't have to be kosher. You can use the same one, just rinse it off, clean it off, and you're good to go with your paper towel dispenser. As far as using the same roll of aluminum foil, the same roll of paper towels, so that just depends where it's been. If it's been in a drawer that has chametz in it and you think there's chametz that got along the edge of the roll, let's say this is the side and this is the roll that goes around, and you think that there's chametz on this side, so the edges all touch crumbs, that's a problem. If, however, you keep your aluminum foil in a place that nothing's going to get, it's not going to get it crummy, so just take off the last 2-3 inches that has been used, you know, with your dirty hands previously, and you could use the rest of your roll of aluminum foil and the rest of your paper towels, as long as it's not been near crumbs. Now, candlesticks, interestingly enough, it's not a food item, but the minhag is, since you have candlesticks on, again, if you have your candlesticks on your dining room table, since you have it on the dining room table with chametz, and if you will have it on your dining room table on Pesach, the minhag is to kasher it by simply pouring boiling water over it. If you're not going to put it on your candles on your dining room table, or during the year you do not put it on your dining room table, there's no need to kasher your candlesticks if they're sitting, let's say, on top of your fireplace or on top of a shelf a few feet away from your dining room table. No need to kasher them. This is only an issue if you do keep it on the dining room table. Let's now move to something that's very, very important and very dear to home, perhaps the most important thing we'll talk about for those of you who use it, and that is a Keurig. So all of you who have your coffee, your Keurig, your K-Cups, it's absolutely essential to live. We all know that. But nevertheless, my friends, since it is a plastic machine, I would urge you not to kosher it, because it would require koshering the Pesach, koshering plastic, and we do not kosher plastics for Pesach. If you knew that all year long it was only used for kosher Pesach K-cups, that is unflavored, regular coffee, not decaffeinated, no other flavors, and you're sure nothing else got near it, okay, give me a call and we'll discuss it. But otherwise, since we typically try to avoid koshering plastic, I would encourage you not to kosher your Keurig coffee maker. That's for Pesach. If, for example, you find yourself in the office where there's a Keurig machine and you want to use it, so then there is a way possibly to kosher it, but that's not on Pesach. And therefore, if you have that situation, call me after Pesach when things are a little quieter. Now, let's go to the hot water urn. So we're going to talk about two things. Let's first talk about a kettle. Then we'll talk about one of those big hot water urns like we have at the Daf Yomi in our shul, those big metal ones. Then we'll talk about pump pots. So first of all, kettles. Kettles, all you do is boil water in it, right? So it can't be chametz stick. That's true, but it's not true. Since it's on the stovetop, when you're boiling up your barley soup, or when you're boiling up your whatever else you're boiling up, your noodles, sometimes there's a splash of water that will spritz onto the outside of the kettle, and therefore that kettle will have absorbed the flavor of chametz. So therefore, since it absorbed any flavor of chametz by the spritzing onto the kettle, you could easily kosher it. Just do not use it for 24 hours, let it be clean, and pour boiling water from a different pot, any other pot that has not been used for 24 hours, pour that boiling water around the kettle, on all parts of the kettle, so that you can kosher your kettle. Remember, whenever we talk about Irui Roschem, whenever we talk about pouring boiling water on something to kosher it, you have to make sure that the flow of water itself touches every spot. You can't just pour the water on top and let it flow down. That's not considered koshering. You have to let the hot water coming down from the boiling pot touch each and every place on the surface that you are pouring onto. That's as far as a tea kettle. Let's now talk about those big hot water urns. Those big hot water urns that are metal on the side, same concern. If they're in a place where they could have gotten splashed with hot water, so they can be koshered by, I'm sorry, if they got might have gotten splashed from hot chametz sticka liquid, so they can be koshered in the same way that I just illustrated. You could simply pour boiling water on the sides where it might have gotten splashed. If where you have your hot water urn, you know that nothing splashed near it, so then we only have to be concerned the spout might not really need to be koshered. Let me rephrase that. The reason for that is the spout, if it's metal, of course, you could kosher, pour boiling water over the spout. You know, you could turn the urn upside down and you could get boiling water from your koshering pot to pour on the metal spout. If it's a plastic spout, we typically don't kosher plastic. But here, there's a little bit more room to be makel. And I'll share with you a the reason, some halachas of kashering. That is that whatever steam from chametz goes upwards towards the spigot, the spout of your kettle, is coming from a cup or a bowl. A cup or a bowl is considered a kli sheni. It's not a kli rishon. It's not where the food was boiled. It's a kli rishon. I'm sorry, it's a kli sheni. So let's say you had your hot water. You put your hot water into a mug. You have a mug, and let's say there are some crumbs in that mug. And then you refill your coffee mug a second time. Now that steam that's emanating from your coffee mug, your chametzika coffee mug, is a kli sheni. So the steam that's coming from a kli sheni, so there's more room to be lenient. So therefore, even if you have a plastic spigot or spout to your hot water urn, I think in that case, you could still kosher your hot water urn's spout on Pesach by pouring boiling water over it. So again, flip it upside down and sideways, pour boiling water over the spout, and that's good to go. Now, if you have a pump pot, for your hot water in your house. So if you never have chametz near it, and you never have anything splashing near it, you don't have to get a separate pump pot for Pesach. You could use a chametz sticker pump pot, the one that you use all year, providing that you never heat any chametz near it, you never put anything on it, that would all be okay to use your pump pot. Again, assuming that you don't typically have any real chametz directly underneath it. If your example, let's say you sometimes fill your chalent with barley, you sometimes put directly underneath the pump pot and you pump some hot water directly into your chalent, there you have steam from barley, cooked boiled barley going straight up directly into the spigot, that could be a problem, and then you'd have to get yourself a Pesach tikka pump pot. But if your house only uses a pump pot into a cup that you then afterwards fill with hot water, and there never is a you don't use it with chametz, you don't use any chametz near it or around it, then theoretically you can use the same pump pot for Pesach. Okay. If you have one of those small kettles that you sort of plug it and then you bring to the table, they're plastic. So those, once you bring it to the table, we're going to assume that it gets chametz stick, that it's dirty, and I would not advise using that for Pesach. Okay, we're going to talk about dishwashers and barbecues for a minute, but I just want to remind you, if you have any questions, please send me a text message to 646-369-6017. And I will check my text messages after I finish speaking, and we'll go through all of your questions. Okay, so dishwashers. Dishwashers, the interior of dishwashers, even if you have metal interior, the racks are all plastic. And again, as we said, since we typically do not kasher plastic for Pesach, I would therefore tell you that most poskim do not allow using dishwashers, kashering dishwashers for Pesach. There's another reason also, and that is, as I mentioned last week, one of the halachos in Hilchos Hechsher Kelim is that whenever you kasher with boiling water only gets rid of the flavor that's absorbed into the body of the kli, but does not actually kasher any residue or any physical existence of material, any chametz itself. Meaning, inside, if you take a challah and put it inside a self-clean oven, believe it or not, your oven will be kasher Pesach after the self-clean side, because that fire destroys everything. However, if you're going to kasher through boiling water, you have to clean all residue, and the kashering through boiling water, what we call hagala, only kashers the flavor that's absorbed in the walls. And therefore, the Ramah tells us that whenever you have a piece of metal, like the drain of a sink, or a sieve, S-E-I-V-E, where there are a lot of, or anything that's netted, where there's a lot of holes, if I'm doing that clearly, where there are a lot of holes that are small holes that can't be perfectly cleaned, Hagala kashering is not an option. Kashering with boiling water is not an option. So therefore, since the drain of the dishwasher has such small holes, it is not possible to kasher properly for Pesach, and therefore we do not kasher dishwashers for Pesach. Let's talk about a barbecue grill. Barbecue grills might be easier to kasher than you think. First of all, take the grates and put them into a self-clean cycle. And then the grates are totally kosher Pesach. If you want to buy a new grate, gazetei, buy a new grate, but it's not necessary. I think even the people who want to keep their grates in their kitchen perfectly lustrous and bright and don't want to ruin them by putting them in a self-clean cycle, I think they'd be willing to, you know, forgo the perfect luster of the grates on their barbecue grill. And if you put in a self-clean cycle, you kashered your grates. What about the rest of the body of the barbecue grill? So that's a little bit more complicated. So obviously, depending on how you it's configured, if you could line the interior walls of the rest of the, again, everything besides the grate, the interior walls of the, all the walls facing the food of your barbecue grill with two layers of aluminum foil, so you are going to be fine. That will be sufficient. If you're not going to be able to cover all the interior walls with aluminum foil, then give me a call and we'll discuss how you might be able to kosher your barbecue grill. I know I was asked last year, what about a smoker? There's some people in the neighborhood who like making smoked meat, and they have smokers outside in their backyards and their garages. So a smoker cannot be koshered because the heat in a smoker, a meat smoker, does not get hot enough to be called what's Liebenkahl, which is 550 degrees, which we don't have to discuss right now. And therefore, my contact at the OU said we should not kosher smokers for Pesach. Okay, let's continue in the kitchen with two more points in the kitchen. And that is the electric mixer. You have a Cuisinart, you have a KitchenAid that you use. Let's talk about the KitchenAid. So KitchenAid that you make dough in, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that the Areva was the mixing bowl where they made bread. That specifically is too chametz stick to kasher. There's flour, there's stuff, especially in our electric mixers, there's lots of flour that could fly into the housing where the motor is. And therefore, electric mixers cannot be koshered. The blades, if you have a specific blade that you want to use, so that if it's perfectly clean and you dip it in pot of boiling water, then of course you could use that blade for Pesach, but I don't know how often that happens. Toasters. So there are people who spend a good part of their life cleaning out toasters. You don't have to. You do have to shake it out. You have to take the toaster, turn it upside down, shake it out. Whatever you could get out, spend a few minutes trying to clean it to the best of your ability, but don't go crazy. Do not take your toaster apart. And the reason is that the toaster is going to be sold with the rest of your chametz stick of materials. Take the toaster, shake it out, get whatever chametz out of your toaster that you can, and then take your toaster and put it into the cabinet with everything else that you plan on selling for Pesach. So this is the general overview of the items as far as kashering in the kitchen. Kashering the rest of the house we spoke about last week. I want to just finish with a few additional points in the house that are important to keep in mind. After you spent the whole a few days sweeping with your brooms, you want to make sure that your brooms aren't dirty. So before Pesach, before the Zmanes V'chametz, make sure that the bottoms of your brooms don't have anything that's edible. Make sure it's all, you know, bang it off, bang the broom off outside a little bit so your brooms are not going to be chametz stick. Second of all, your vacuum cleaner bag. You want to empty out your vacuum cleaner bag. Don't forget about that before Pesach, because if you did vacuum behind the couches and you got a few Cheerios here and a few half rugelach here and a few pieces of licorice nibs there, if it's all less than a kazayas, then you're fine. It's dirty. It's less than a kazayas. That's fine. But if the accumulation of all the stuff that you gathered ends up being a kazayas, all contained in one kli, that's a problem. So therefore, empty your vacuum cleaner bags before Pesach. And also make sure that your garbage cans are appropriately clean, the garbage cans in your house and the garbage cans out of your house. You could clean them with some cleanser to render anything that's in it inedible. I'm not telling you to take your toothbrush and scrape the inside of your garbage pail outside your house, but at least make sure that there's no significant chametz there. And if there is, you just want to spray something on it to render it inedible for a kelev, for a dog. A number of halachos that relate this year, so that's as far as kashering. Again, any kashering questions, please text me. My phone number is 646-369-6017. 646-369-6017. Now, I want to add one halacha. I just saw a fascinating shaila and a fascinating psak from Herschel Schechter. Many people in our shul, many people in Klal Yisrael have the minhag, myself included, have the minhag to recite Hallel on the Seder night. Both nights of the Seder night, we are always treated to the Chazan's Hallel. Unfortunately, this year we will probably not be zocha to hear the Chazan's voice, but it's not so simple. Let me explain. Rosh Schechter points out that even those who do have the minhag to recite Hallel, that halal is only recited bitzibur. So if you're going to be davening marav in your own home, even if it is your minhag every year to yes daven halal at marav before the seder, this year if you're davening at home, you will not say halal at marav. Oh, let's say your whole family is together for Pesach because you're living with 10, you have 10 boys in your house and they're all together for the past few weeks and there's no worry of social distancing because you have 10 boys living in the same house. The halacha would still be that since you're going to have those same 10 boys at the Seder a few minutes later, so you're not adding anything b'tzibur of the halal at Mariv, and even in that case, you would not say halal at Mariv. So this year, on certain circumstances, will anyone say halal at Mariv, even if it is your minhag, to do so? Our hope is, of course, is that we'll...
This whole
situation that we find ourselves in will bring us, is the harbinger of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, will be Zocha, to say halal on the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Somebody asked a very good question. This year, as I mentioned, the mayor has all the major public burnings of chametz have decided not to have the general chametz burnings because we don't want to have people coming together for social distancing purposes. And therefore, everybody will have to burn chametz on their own. Now, somebody asked me, can you simply flush it down the toilet? The answer in short is, yes, that will take care of the iser of owning chametz, but no, it will not properly fulfill the positive mitzvah of destroying chametz through burning, which is something that we try to do. So if you can burn your chametz by making a little fire in your backyard or your front yard or outside your building, not in your house, outside your house, of course, you can take a little tin can or an aluminum foil pan and have a very small controlled fire to burn at least some chametz, at least the kazayas of chametz, then you should do that. All the rest of your chametz you could destroy, you could flush it down the toilet, but try to leave yourselves a kazayas of chametz to burn, to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu in the lechatchila way. If you can't, then you did rid yourself of the prohibitions of owning chametz, although you might not have fulfilled the positive mitzvah of destroying chametz in the ideal form. SodaStream, I have to check that up. I did see SodaStream discussed in the different pamphlets and check the OU what they write about SodaStream. I don't remember what it is. I don't have it in front of me. Next question. If you have Instant Hot, so I'll tell you what I found about my Instant Hot. I don't know if you have the same, but somebody else called me about Instant Hot and he did have the same. If you have Instant Hot installed on your faucet, it looks just like the rest of your faucet. It looks metal, it looks chrome. It's a farce, it's fake news. The Instant Hot place where the water comes out of is actually not chrome. It looks like chrome. It's painted a metallic silver color to look like chrome. It is actually plastic. Take your fingernail and give a little flick, bang it, and you'll see that it's not metal, it's plastic. And since it's plastic, we do not kosher for Pesach. If you find that your Instant Hot is indeed, the faucet for the Instant Hot is indeed chrome, it's actually real metal, then yes, you can kosher it. You'd kosher it by not using it for 24 hours, by boiling water on it, sticking it. You could have a pot of boiling water and sort of stick the faucet into the pot of boiling water. And then, finally, just let some water run out of it as a way of koshering it. But again, as far as I know, the two Instant Hots that I'm aware of look like metal, but they're plastic, and therefore I would assume that many of yours are indeed plastic, not actually made out of chrome. So that's for Instant Hot.
So they cannot be used?
Okay, if you have a special cold water filter for your sink, that's just pour boiling water on any faucets, and that's how you kosher your faucet. Somebody asked, they have an electric hot plate without different heat settings. It's all one heat setting. So that's a great plata for Shabbos purposes, because on Shabbos, it means we're not worried that you're going to adjust it. So it's more lechatchila for Shabbos to not have any adjustable settings. But for Pesach, that you could kosher it the same way. Just turn it on. There's no high, medium, low. So just turn it on. As hot as it gets, turn it on for 2 hours. And then make sure it was clean, not used for 24 hours. And double line it with heavy-duty aluminum foil.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.